Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
Radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror. I pressed the off button a little too early there. With me, as always, is my co-host, Ian. Ian, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, good. So there's a switchboard problem. No, I forgot to let the little carry itself out. Anyway, we're here, and we are on our last week of our Colorgoria marathon. It's been an interesting month, and sadly, it has to end the way it did, which we'll get into the beginning of the show here. But we have two final clown-related horror movies. Probably not the final two clown movies we'll be reviewing, because next month I'm already seeing other Halloween-based films, and there's clowns in that. So, to an extent, there'll be an extension, because Halloween, everyone always has to have a clown in a Halloween attraction. So we'll be continuing on talking about those, but that's next week when October hits, and we got our last two films in for the official marathon. We'll get into them a little bit later, but first is it's not really sudden, but it, in a sense, it's tragic to see it happen, and that's the passing of Sid Haig. I made a post of it on our Facebook page, doing a little in memoriam, talking about, you know, his early days of working with Jack Hill, Spider Baby, you know, Coffee, Foxy Brown, stuff like that. And then, of course, going into the exploitation era of Roger Corman with, like, the Big Birdcage and all kinds of stuff with Roger Corman. Galaxy of Terror, one of my favorite films. If you haven't seen Galaxy of Terror, do yourself a favor and see it, because it is fucking out there. Because the one scene, it's an infamous scene. If you haven't seen it, it's just worth it. But, you know, he plays a mute sort of character in that film. Of course, the resurgence that put him on the map now as a legend with Rob Zombie and Captain Spaulding and the House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, and, of course, Three from Hell. And it just, you know, a couple weeks back he had that health scare that his wife put out, and he was in the hospital, and then he vomited while he was sleeping, and it was just terrible. And, you know, you were thinking, okay, you know, he got out, he was recovering, and, you know, he didn't make it. So unfortunately, you know, he passed away at 80, and it's a good life. I mean, 80, I mean, come on. That's more than some other people, you know, here recently made it. So he had a little bit extra years on him. So I can't really fault, you know, it sucks to have him gone, because he's a great dude. I mean, I met him, I think, around 2012, probably around 7 or 8 years ago at a convention. Great guy. very endearing, and you know, he had a good line. And plus, again, like I said before, he was relatively inexpensive when it came to autographs. $10 your item, like, all right, boom. And like, again, he was always grateful, you know, grateful for the fans and taking time with everyone and signing whatever. And he was cool. And it just, you know, seemed, you know, again, it's just weird because, again, after you see Three from Hell and what happened to him in that, you know, he got sentenced to death, and then all of a sudden, a week later, he's actually dead. I mean, it's weird how fiction and real life kind of happen sometimes, you know?
Right.
But it's a sad day, you know. When you have one of the more iconic clowns in recent memory, of course, you know, in its own right, you know, more vulgar clown, and just, you know, his character and how beloved it was, and everything like that, and you know, especially passing away during our Colorgoria marathon of clown films. It's a weird way to conclude the month, honestly.
Right.
Ian, what's your thoughts?
A little too coincidental for my taste, but no, like, you know, like you said, it was just, like, all that happened all around the same time. Like, we just happened to have a, you know, marathon, and that coincided with the movie release, and then a week later, after the movie, he dies. It's just, you know, it's sad. I remember I was, like, I just had my phone on, on my lap, and I was putting my shoes on, and I had, like, the Google news feed up, and then it updated itself, and that was, like, the top thing, and I was like, what? Damn.
Yeah,
but,
like I said, it was kind of expected, but not expected, because before Sid passed, there was two other deaths, and it was music-related. You know, you had Eddie Money and the lead singer of the Cars, and here I was thinking, okay, who's the other singer that's going to pass away? And then it's like, holy shit, you know, it's kind of unexpected, but
right.
I mean, after every, you know, of course, if you look back on it and what, you know, the health scare and everything that happened, I mean, it does make sense. I mean, but it's still a terrible thing to see, but I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Oh no, you're fine. Yeah. It's just, you know, I mean, this has been the past couple of years have just have really taken a toll on this.
Mm-hmm.
there's been a lot of celebrity death, more than I guess maybe they're just the same. It's just now touching to where what we know, but yeah, it's just, you know, my heart goes out to his, you know, family and
his wife, yeah,
and his, you know, fans. And
yeah, I mean, this is another one. Like, everyone came together when the news broke. You know, everyone. I remember on, like, all my feeds, there's, like, you know, of course we did it as well. You know, we did it in memoriam and talked about it. And, like, everyone, you know, of course,
yeah,
all the other news sites did, and then everyone was, like, posting pictures of them meeting Sid. And it was just, you know, everyone came together. You know, it was like when Wes Craven passed away and, all, you know, a bunch of other ones, you know, like, we come together and we, you know, we do marathons of his films or watch something we haven't seen of his film, you know, even though, like, his newer stuff, he's only in for, like, a small portion. You know, he's not
yeah.
in the, you know, few, you know, cameo spots, I mean, here and there. But, you know, we come together, you know, and say our thanks and our, you know, give him a good remembrance. You know, he'll always be Captain Spaulding. You know, that's his character
right.
now. And that's his legacy. And you kind of have to give props to Rob Zombie for, again, bringing some of these people, I wouldn't say really out of obscurity, but, you know, they made a bigger impact to the horror world and, you know, all the films that they're in, even in there are small parts in some of them. But he managed to, you know, bring him back and give him another run. So I kind of, you know, if you love him or hate him, you got to give Rob Zombie his props for, you know, like all the films that he kind of helped create in a sense. I mean, not Rob Zombie himself, but other people got the actors, of course, like Sid and Ken Foree and of Michael Berryman and Bill Moseley, you know, just got them on a big, you know, film streak of working on films for the genre. So it kind of helped reinvigorate the genre and give all these actors and actresses a new life. And it's, you know, I can't really hate the guy, you know, but it sucks to see Sid go. And, you know, I have to, you know, he'll always have that film and a weird end. I will say that much. That's the one thing doing this show. This is one of the ones that was, it's right up there with Angus Scrimm because of everything that happened with him and meeting him, and he had to cancel, and then he died a few months later. Like, oh, God, that sucked. That sucked because he had, like he got a cold or a pneumonia or something. And it just, but this one, just with the occurrence and the release of the film and the way his character ended in Three from Hell and what actually happened in real life, it was coinciding with everything, like you said. It was just, it's weird. But with that said, I'm going to say thank you, Sid Haig, for everything you did. Yeah. It was great to meet you, and you're a great guy, and rest in peace. And going on from that, we have our first of two for our final Colorgoria Marathon films. And Ian, this week was kind of tough, honestly. We had a few, and... you know, we had a few to choose from, and we just decided on these two, and it was, oh God, all right. So the first one, we'll get into the first one, as I think it was kind of the sort of the better of the two in a sense. That's Gags the Clown. Gags the Clown is a faux found footage documentary sort of film where it's Green Bay, Wisconsin. There's this mysterious clown roaming the streets and, you know, everywhere. And he has his clown, you know, full makeup, full garb, and he's holding black balloons. And we have a variety of characters in this film. There's a film that reminded me of this. I'll talk about that later once I get through the synopsis. And so we have a television reporter who is going after the story. Her name's Heather Dupree. Then we have the podcast guy, Charles Wright, who's like this Army war veteran, and he's doing this podcast where, like, he's sick and tired, you know, like the news, and like this Gags the Clown. He's going to go take in, you know, some, you know, vigilante justice. And then we have these kids. One's like the stepdaughter of the police officer, the female police officer, and then like her, like technically boyfriend, I guess. I don't know. It's not really clear. And then like his friend who's dressed up as a clown. So there's like all this stuff going around where like they're at a party and the one girl there that's throwing the party is scared of clowns, and he's, you know, going in full garb to get caught, and then they go on their separate ways. So there's a bunch of different intersecting stories going on with the news reporter, Heather, going for the scoop. There's this rival newscaster doing all the other stuff as well. Like, they're kind of butting heads. It's like Gags Watch. And so it's like her and her cameraman, they're kind of just talking, gibbering back and forth, trying to, you know, like they don't want to be there, and then they have to be there, and they have to do this news story. And then they have the Charles Wright, the podcast dude, he wants to do his own thing. And, like, the one thing about this film is everything has to be somehow a camera or a found footage or just any way to make it look like it's found footage. There's a part in the film where it's literally an ATM camera, and it's pointing at a TV with a dude coming up and getting money out of it. So it's, like, every possible thing they can do to make it, when they like shoot different angles they have to have like security camera footage of like a bar for like exterior shots. It's not like when the newscast is going on, and like they shoot the camera from there. And the one film that it kind of reminded me of was The Bay, and how that sort of did the same thing, but instead of a clown, it's like a sort of like a parasitic virus that inhabits people. That one was a little bit better than this one. Not by much. Because the way this style is just not, it's not that great, and it's just kind of eh. And it's more so exposition and dialogue and story and, well, some story. But the one thing is like, this film, there's parts of it I liked and parts of it that just didn't work.
Yeah.
The parts I liked, of course, is the gags, the clown story. Like, he's this mysterious thing that is, you know, terrorizing the town, and just like these, you know, he's coming around, and like every time he's on camera, it goes haywire and distorts and static, and you know, just lines across the screen, and like he's there and then he disappears all of a sudden. He's like, you know, this entity in a sense, and he's just,
yeah,
he's here and there, and like he's in the background, and he's like right in front of you, like he's very mysterious. I thought they did well with him and everything that he, you know, was going for, and, you know, just that mysterious aura of his, you know, this weird figure, and sort of small backstory that we got with him, that he apparently, this, you know, he, because he interviewed this guy in this antique shop, and he had a picture of Gags the clown, in a picture frame, and he says this clown was the same clown I've seen in all the, you know, viral videos and everything, is the same clown that is in this picture frame from 1974 that died in a fire, in a, you know, a circus fire. And so, like, they do all this, like, backstory, and, like, they don't give you much, but what's there is really interesting. And, like, and, like, what he does, and, like, again, the camera edits, and then, like, the mysterious black balloons that explode and, like, cover you in powder, and then make the person that is covered in powder start to, like, rip their face off or carve their face to make themselves look like a clown and go crazy, and they start vomiting and all that stuff. It's just, like, again, everything that's around that, the characters, is very slow and monotonous. It just goes on, and it's just like story. You know, like you'd want the story to continue on, and especially when they get to the ending, when they get to the warehouse, when all the characters converge, and what they find in the warehouse, and you're wanting, like, to know more. You know, that's the one thing. Like, I mean, less is good, right? I appreciate that they left a little bit to the imagination, but there's like a little
right.
bit there that I kind of wanted a little bit more from, or just added on, like during a conversation or something. Like with the antiques guy, like he was given, you know, like this backstory, like this clown's been dead, you know, he's not, this is the same clown from 74. So it's like, that's cool. And then of course, like the mystery, you know, like what, you know, he's just there holding balloons, and then the powder that's in the balloons, and like,
yeah.
What's like with this clown, you know, what exactly is he, you know, is he like a demon, or is he just an interdimensional being, you know, sort of like a Pennywise thing that's just there. But they don't really do that much else with it. And like, it's interesting. Like, it really does have a good idea, but like everything else around it just kind of is uninteresting a little bit, and it kind of teeters on, like, I know you were like, it's kind of slow. Like, there's a lot of dialogue, and again, it's not, the dialogue's not too bad, but it's just nothing is, it's just there, you know, like one dude's talking about
yeah.
his coffee being cold or not being right, and he's like, all right, I'm gonna go get the coffee, and then of course they like bicker back and forth, and then like the news, not the newscaster, but Charles Wright and his podcast, and he, you know, what he does, it kind of takes a turn, and you know, just more character development for the characters that you're kind of uninterested in, instead of gags. And
exactly.
That's kind of one of the major downfalls of it, where it's just like, I mean, I kind of get the point, but again, at the whole end of it, it just kind of, you know, you're kind of looking like, what was the point of everything, you know? It just kind of leads you like, that was it, you know, because, I mean, like I said, less is more, but, like, there was just, like, one or two points where they could have maybe mentioned something in, like, a news article or someone, you know, like, they're looking up online of, like, things, you know, instead of just that one exposition of the antique dealer and the whole fire, and that was it.
Yeah.
And then you don't get anything else, you know. But, and it's just, he just mysteriously shows up. And, like, you don't know, like, did the town set him on fire? Like, there's stuff there that's just not discussed upon further. Like, did this town set him on fire? Was he an evil clown? Did he do something wrong? That the you know, like, what made him, you know, again, less is more. But, like, there's something there that was missing. But, Ian, what's your thoughts?
Well, I think at least, like, 30, 40 minutes of that movie could be shaved down quite a lot. And that's just because of the dialogue. Like, some of it, just the talking went on and on. And I just wanted to bang my head against the desk. I'm like, guys, please, I don't care. Move on. I want to see some clowns. I was like, I mean, you see them here and there, and then you got the kids who are running around pretending to be the clown and scare people. And I like that. I wish they did more with that. That whole thing. I think the party scene could have been cut down quite a bit.
Yeah, I like the aspect, just, like I said, like, he shows up in the background. Like, you see the you know, the real gags, the clown in the background, and then, like, you have the fake clown, you know, the friend running around the house. And it's like, I like that aspect of, he just randomly shows up.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like, the music, the carnival music that plays, that doesn't get mentioned hardly.
I
mean, it's, yeah.
I love when, like, spooky clown movies, they just randomly start playing carnival music. And I like that because it's, you know, I love clown movies. This is, like, you know, my ideal marathon. But, you know, it's just, I just wish they didn't, like you said, you know, I wish they did more with gags. And, you know, I mean, I liked how they did it. I like with the clown. I love the way he looked. I like the creepy balloons. I know it's a, you know, a complete drag on, you know, it, but at least, you know, they didn't try to be exactly like that. Just like a little nod with the balloons, but I like how the balloons actually served a purpose. It seemed like the clown had a lot of, like, everything he did was, you know, kind of purposeful. I liked that, the aspect that, like, everybody that went out looking for the clown ended up, like, becoming the clown.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why? Why is he doing that? Why is he turning people into clowns? Like, what? Why? I was like, it doesn't really explain. It doesn't even, like, there's nothing to even speculate at. Just, he wants to do it, apparently. And, I mean, I'm like, that's okay, it's cool, but like you said, there's just not much on him. It's like, I don't know hardly anything about it, because the news reporter wasn't, you know, done with her midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I was just...
Yeah, you know, like I said, I kind of knew things that were, you know, building up to what was going to happen when they get to the warehouse, when everyone converted.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of saw that. That was easy to see coming. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Right.
But again, once the other thing happens and goes on, and then it was interesting. I was like, you know, there's like a lot of things that, like, because the cameraman to Charles, and, like, he said he was going to shoot Gags the clown, and then, like, There's a point where, like, again, like I brought up, like, the carnival music playing, and, like, you hear it just, they're out in the middle of, you know, in a, like, a railroad street or somewhere in the middle of this abandoned place, building, not the warehouse, but beforehand, and, you know, just music just plays out in the open. And, of course, he's like, what is that? And then the cameraman's like, oh, you chickened out. I'm like, then you just hear the fucking music play yourself, you know? Like, I'm not sure if that was just for him in general, like, but, like, because the guy doesn't bring it up either. Like, oh, you know, he's like, oh, you're a fake. You chickened out. You didn't shoot him like you said you were going to do it. And, like, just that random music, you know, like, did only certain people hear the music? You know, like, I'm assuming, you know, because if the cameraman didn't hear it, you know, but Charles and the Heather did. I don't know. It's just,
yeah.
Like, there's, like I said, a lot of things that just could have been furthered. But again, I guess they wanted to keep it, you know, a mystery for the most part, but I felt like it kind of hindered what I was trying to do. Because there's, again, like,
yeah,
I said, just a little bit more exposition on, or just dialogue here and there. You know, maybe if they, like, cut to the footage of the rival news team interviewing the antiques guy, maybe we got a little bit more. You know, because, like, she was going into interviewing, you know, like, okay, maybe we'll get a little bit more. You know, but they don't. They never go back to that lady until the very end. But it's
yeah.
I don't know. It's not a bad watch, but it's like, because it's interesting to see the whole gags scenario unfold and everything that happens. It was sort of like the movie Yellow Brick Road, where it's like the music's playing and you don't know what it is, and then it kind of hinders and goes a little bit different, you know, well, stupid at the end. But this one kind of, like, it didn't give you much really to work with. It's there, and they just kind of leave it open-ended. I guess for your own interpretation, like we're talking about. But, yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything else to say. We don't really have a lot of time to discuss this one before we go on to our next
right.
one. So, Ian, any final thoughts on Gags the Clown?
Not really. Just kind of more complaining.
Yeah.
We don't really have time for that.
Yeah. But going on from that, we have our last film of the evening. And this is Big Top Evil. Now, I didn't know this going in until I started to realize a pattern, and then I saw some things in the background, and they were talking about going to a certain place where a film was shot in the actual movie, and this is by the same director who did Mangrove Slasher 2, which was a like a 20, 30-minute, maybe 40-minute short film, and it's available on YouTube. And I was like, I remembered Mangrove Slasher. I'm like, that sounds like the one short film I watched, you know, a couple years ago. And it's by the same people. And that short, I was not a fan of. I did not like that. I did not like the overacting and the way that it was. Just the overall, I know it was like they're trying to do nostalgia and, you know, lost film sort of stuff. But it was not a good short. And then seeing, like, oh, we're going to go to the place where Mangrove Slasher was filmed, and then seeing, like, this is not the same people. And then I started realizing, you know, like, some of the acting was, like, the same that was in Mangrove Slasher 2. But I digress. It was just like, okay, well, I'm worried now because I did not like that one. But Big Top Evil, our general character, his name is Jay, and he is in prison for the deaths of a lot of people. And this defense attorney, I believe it's a defense attorney or just a public defender, is wanting to hear the story of what happened of, you know, and of course Jay's been through it over and over and they don't believe him because of how crazy everything sounds. And so he has to go through the story again. And that's one of my general tropes I hate, because, you know, Jay's the only one that's going to survive. So all the characters are already, who cares? Not to say, but anyway, I digress. So he goes through to tell the story, and it starts out with Jay. I didn't get any other characters' names besides Donnie, who is the nerd geek, because he's, like, technically the only other character that's memorable, and the reason to remember his name because of everything that happens with him. They go, they're wanting to see the place where Mangrove Slasher was filmed. They're going to the middle of nowhere. They go to this place Donnie meets up with Candy, who runs a motel slash carnival with her family, I guess. And Donnie is, you know, Candy's sort of attracted to Donnie in a not that way sense, but Donnie thinks so. So he's going to like, okay, everyone's here to help Donnie get laid. And that's what they kind of do. So they stay at the motel, and then they go to the carnival, and the carnival, you know, the big top is a little bit different, you know. And then it turns out that the clowns there at that carnival are cannibalistic a little bit, and they just want to murder people. And that's technically the gist of the story. And there's a lot of – dude, I had so many problems with this one. Okay, so there's a part in the film, again, they go through there and, like, they're all at the motel carnival and they see things happen. They notice things are a little off. And then there's also this part where they cut back to Jay, and Jay is talking about these three convicts that escaped. And then later on in the film, Jay doesn't have any interaction with the convicts at all because they're dead before he even realizes anything, because he's chasing after another chick that's kind of interested in him, because he went through a bad breakup in a sense. And so, like, he's with her trying to chase her down because she leaves the carnival the clowns invite them to dinner. And, like, they leave because the one clown's, like, being pervy, in a sense. And so she gets up and leaves. He goes after her. And then the other ones find out that the soup they're eating has an eyeball in it. And, like, all those clowns, they're trying to, you know, there's a human, human body parts. And then they find another character they find Donnie, who's dead, I think, or someone that's dead. And just, like, a lot of things go on. And like I said, Jay has no interactions with the three criminals that break out of wherever they were. And it's like, oh, you know, he's, like, saying, like, he knows it. And, like, instead, he, you know, he goes through the sewer or wherever with the 8-foot clown. And there's just, like, a lot of things going on. And then there's, like, that one scene where, like, the clown goes through the it's not really a warehouse, but it's, like, the one building where, like, explosions are going off on screen. Like, that's one unsafe place if you're just walking and explosions just come right in front of you, you know? And it's just, yeah, it was not very good. It's like very, like how I said Clown Motel was, like it should have done, you know, 2000 Maniacs in a sense. Like, this one, it kind of goes for it because, again, it has Candy and the Donnie scene, which is very familiar. And then, like, again, the clowns are cannibals. So it's like it is very, very close to what I kind of want a Clown Motel. So I kind of give it that. And there is some gore. There's some bad CG too. And it just goes on and on. And it's just, it's not really all that great, but it is kind of better than Clown Motel if I had to compare it. But again, it's just very, you know, blasé, in the better word.
Right.
And it's just, you know, there's just a lot of stuff that's just, like, kind of uninteresting with the film. Ian, your thoughts?
I liked the dinner scene.
Mm-hmm.
That was about it. The acting was kind of, wasn't a big fan of the acting.
Donnie was overacting with Donnie's character, and that's the one thing. There's a character that's exactly like that in Mangrove Slasher 2, and he's like the central character. I was like, oh god. And then once I saw Don, that's the one thing, like, okay, this seems familiar, and then I put two and two together.
Donnie's character kind of got on my nerves a little bit. Like, yeah, I got it. You're an unsocial geek. I understand this trope. Got it. But you don't have to, like, try so hard with it. And
I don't know. Most of the characters just
come and go.
Glad half of them died.
Yeah, they come and go. Like once they introduce like the three criminals, and then like oh there's clowns, and like they all wind up in the hotel room together, and like oh crap we're in trouble because three criminals, and then they go out and they're just oh fucking gone. Don't worry about it. Fuck the criminals. You know, it's cannon fodder, and then again like the clowns going after all the other people, and just it was here and there. You know, just clowns doing things. I mean, the 8-foot clown was interesting, but again, it's just like there's like little parts of like I just like that doesn't make sense. Like if he's telling us about the convicts, that's like one of the main things I had. Just like I know it's nothing. It's nothing. I shouldn't have a fucking problem with it, but it's like he's telling this story. But he has no interaction with them at whatsoever in the film. So how would he fucking know? Every other character is basically dead.
Yeah. And I think the only character that I actually liked was the girl that clown that brings them all down there. I liked her. Her character actually, honestly, to me, I felt like it was the most convincing character. And I was like, I can believe that. But everybody else, I mean, I like the clowns. I like the one with the two eyes, kind of jittery. And that. I like a couple of those clowns. I mean, so I thought they were pretty decent. But just the other characters, the main characters, and, I was just like, why did they even bring in the, the people, the convicts, the guys? Just like, why?
Yeah.
Why was that even, like, there was no point to it. Like,
no, it's a plot point that does not resolve anything, nor has any purpose from the main character telling the story. So it's just there.
Yeah. It's just... I was just like, why? This is weird. And, and it was kind of dragged out a lot. Like, I wanted more to happen, and I wanted more to happen sooner. Especially when it comes to a cannibal movie. I'm like, and most of the deaths happened off screen. I'm just like, why? Show it. Give me some entertainment, damn it. Like, I was upset because that dream sequence that guy was talking about, Donnie, I wanted to see that happen. No,
it did happen.
Yeah, but I didn't really, like, I wanted to see that happen to him.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they do show the just behind stuff, so yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, come on, let me see it. I want to see the gore.
Yeah, I mean, it would have, even just like intestines or something going, on the floor between her legs or something would have been suffice, but it was there, and I don't even think you got that much blood splatter, but it was kind of CG, because there's, again, a lot of, like, CG blood in this one.
Yeah. They probably didn't have money in the budget.
Yeah. I don't know. It wouldn't be that hard to get fake intestines. I mean, you can buy real intestines at a butcher shop. I mean, like it would be great.
Right.
Just put it all in a bag or something, or a garbage bag, and just and there you go. You have blood and you have everything. it's not. But again, we don't know. Again, we're just here to review it and everything. It's just like again, I know what they're trying to do with it. And it just again, and then the ending, like, oh yeah, she's everything, they did everything's fine, just like, well, Jesus, and just like that ending was just like tacked on there, but it was like, is it over? Who knows? Yeah, just like it wasn't really a mess. Like I said, in a sense, it is a better film than Clown Motel, but again, that's not saying much because it still has a lot of issues. And, like, I wanted, like, how I wanted Clown Motel is exactly sort of like how this one turned out. So it's kind of in the weird middle there where it's like it's half okay, half, you know, half what you want, half, you know, just bad. And I don't know. I mean, it is a step up from Mangrove Slasher. I will say that. So it is kind of a stepping stone. So maybe his next film will be a little bit better and more well-rounded compared to this one. And, you know, like, I mean, the story is there. I mean, it wasn't too bad. I mean, again, I wanted, you know, as you said, Cannibal Clowns, count me in, you know. I got another film. I should have reviewed it with this one. It was Cannibal Killer Clowns on Dope. We might have to do that one for a special show later on down the old pipeline there and review that one.
Do it on 420.
Yeah, exactly. But hopefully it's better than Bong Face. But yeah, I guess I really don't have anything else to say about Big Top Evil. It was just two films back to back that was kind of hard to get through. You know, it wasn't terrible. I mean, they both had okay moments and like things that worked for them, but the execution and everything just kind of you know, was where it was, you know, the benefactor and everything. It was just the pacing issues and then like plot points that just doesn't add up and just like a lot of things in both films where just like it's a bad note to go out on. but hopefully
right.
Halloween, you know, our films for Halloween marathon turns out for the better. Ian, any final thoughts on Big Top Evil?
Not really. I mean, like, but overall from both films, you know, really just I understand where they were going with both, you know, both films. I understand where they were trying to go with it. And in some parts, they succeeded. But their overall, just, you know, the pacing issues for both of them were just dreadful. And, you know, I mean, I pretty much expected what we got. But, you know, I wish there was more gore on both, you know, both films. And I wish there was just more, you know, more clowns, honestly. Both, I mean, the last movie had a lot of clowns toward the end. But I was like, where were all of these at? Throughout the whole movie.
Like, you have the 8-foot clown that's in the middle, like some underground bunker or somewhere. I have no idea. It was just in the middle of nowhere where he's at in some building. And then you have, like, the
giant
three thing. Main clowns, like the three at the table, and then Candy, the daughter of the middle clown. And then they all just run through a junkyard and, like, okay. Like, where the fuck did they all come from, like you said? There's, like at least, like, 10 or 15 of them there at the end.
Like, I don't know if I missed something, but I didn't really – I think I looked away and kind of lost interest. But I couldn't remember how he escaped and, like, how he ran for 3 days. That's what he said. I was like
– covered in blood. And that's the whole reason that he got in jail.
Yeah, I was like, how did you run for 3 days straight? Especially with all of those clowns, they would have eventually caught up with him. I was like, that was a big plot hole for me. And I was just like, why? Why is that, like, why did you introduce all of these clowns for no reason?
Well, they kind of do leave that open-ended at the end.
Yeah. Well, I hope there's a sequel. You know, hopefully they are like, yeah, let's add more gore and more, you know. But like I said, I like the clowns on both movies. I thought they did pretty good on that. But some of their costumes in the Big Top Evil was pretty nice, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, those are not cheap costumes. So I was like, kudos for that. I like the hobo clowns.
Yeah, you look good. But, I mean, that's about it for our Color Goria Marathon. It was an interesting month. And next month is our Halloween Marathon, where it's all Halloween stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see what films come our way then. And of course, news and major releases. We have like The Lighthouse and Zombieland 2. So it's going to be a big month. So Ian, as always,
oh, yeah.
Thank you for coming on and talking.